The Lovesick Lake. Chubby Blewett made cedar strip boats by hand. In a year, he could make two, but their future owners had to want them bad enough to call him often, write him letters, and otherwise display a genuine appreciation of his efforts. It also helped to go down to the old boathouse next to his cottage by the lake and keep him company while he worked. Everyone on the lake owned at least one, and, properly cared for, they would last a long, long time. The story goes that a young Ojibwe girl, upon hearing of the death of her lover in a faraway war, threw herself from the open dam at the southern end of the lake. He returned unharmed, and when he learned of his love's fate, he chose to perish in the same swirling rapids at Burley Falls. So the lake was named Lovesick. But there's a deeper history there as well. In 1896, an English couple, John and Emily Marshall, purchased a land grant from Queen Victoria for a 5-acre island in the Trent Canal system in central Ontario, Canada. Emily, then 34 years old, and her husband named the island Clovelly after their honeymoon retreat in England. Her husband owned a peanut farm in Africa, and when he retired, he shipped from his African estate a giant stone he called Elephant Rock and placed it under the arm of his favorite oak on Clovelly Island. I first saw Clovelly from the seat of one of Chubby Blewett's boats. My father told my sister and me to wait while he went up to the big white house. Three very old ladies wearing flower print dresses and large straw sun hats sat fanning themselves on the shaded porch. "I would will this island to the Boy Scouts before I would think of selling it to a man who took a drink," my father quoted Emily later that day over a Canadian Club and Coke. That winter, not an hour after signing Queen Victoria's deed over to my father, Emily Marshall died. It was her 96th birthday. Her nieces had her cremated, and when the spring thaw came to Lovesick Lake, they sprinkled her ashes over Clovelly Island. For the next 10 summers, I filled the kerosene lamps and saw that the wicks were fresh. We cooked our meals on the iron wood stove in the kitchen, picked wild choke cherries for making jam, kept the outhouses neat and cleaned the porcelain chamber pots that went beneath the beds at night. We fought the giant spiders that lived in the rotting wood, and piece by piece, we burned the decaying remnants of Emily Marshall's century in the bedroom stoves and the giant living room fireplace. We were convinced we could hear her cry on those nights when the wind and the lake were calm, and the only sound as we went to sleep was her sighing hiss from the fire.